92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
This is the Seahawkers Podcast. I'm Brandon Schultz of the Military Seahawkers, and I am joined by my good buddy Adam Emmert as we are talking Seahawks draft, and in particular today, the Seahawks' fifth pick overall. Adam, how are you doing?
Man, I'm right as rain. It was nice to have a couple days to process the draft experience there and be able to kind of go back and really deep dive on a few of these guys, but there was one dude that I knew a fair amount about before this draft, and I almost made a video saying this is the way that they should go early in the draft, and I didn't have the cojones to do it, and I chickened out, and I'm really sad that I did, because this would have been a really nice, you were right, feather in my cap, and I missed out on it. And that's our number five pick.
I think we can take a little bit of credit for it, though, because we did spend some time convincing ourselves of the idea that this could be the year to go ahead and draft cornerback, because when you're talking positional value, best player available, those types of things, Devin Witherspoon really fit those types of check blocks, right? Because he was among the best players available, a high value position being an outside corner. Those guys make a lot of money on the open market after their first contract. It was technically a position of need, maybe a somewhat of a position of luxury for the Seahawks, but how can you argue against having two elite corners on either side of the defense? They didn't have that. So in that sense, it was a need.
Oh, it was a need in the terms of, do you want to be dominant on defense? Then this is a nice way to go about it. It was a need in terms of picking a guy that you could have on a rookie deal at a position that you usually have to pay top dollar for. That's pretty cool. And it was a need in terms of swag, in terms of play style, in terms of pop, in terms of juice, all of that. That's what Devin Witherspoon brings. He is so Seahawky as a corner. It's not even funny. And I was over the moon about this pick in, I didn't get into it much, or we didn't as a group in our post-draft coverage, because, you know, I was a little disappointed that there wasn't as much done in the interior defensive line. And maybe some people think that that means that I was frustrated that they didn't go with Carter there and that maybe this Witherspoon thing wasn't a good idea, which isn't the case in any way, shape, or form. You too, Brandon, we've both said this. If they decide to pass on Carter because the character stuff or his team fit or whatever it is that they don't find as desirable for their team, if they say, nope, we're good on that, we're going to pass, I'm okay with it. I'm totally fine. Just do something a little later and we're good. But Witherspoon, man, like if you don't watch his tape and get fired up, I don't know what to tell you, because it's crazy.
He had my favorite highlight of the draft. I said it even going into the draft that it was my favorite defensive player highlight. And because I like seeing cornerbacks steal souls of opposing players. And he had some soul stealing hits when he was in college. But you know, you mentioned some of your frustration and that it wasn't necessarily around the Jalen Carter pick. But I do sense the frustration from some of our members of the flock, from Seahawks fans in general. There's frustration around a lot of the different picks in different places. And I think that's normal as a fan, especially if you're one that has followed the draft coverage extensively. And because the Seahawks had a top pick this year, I think there were more people that followed it closely. Oh, yeah. And so now there's more people who are a little bit miffed, you know, whether or not it was their particular player or if it was a sense of the strategy of, best player available versus positions of need. I think there were more of us out there that had those types of feelings. And so I wanted to address Jerv Reed, sent in a comment via getintheflock.com. Jerv, longtime listener. And I think this addresses some frustration that I've heard from others. He says, Carter fell right in our effing lap and we passed. Not happy. Rest of the draft is a B. Carter was the best player at the biggest need. Oh, so that was my comment. He was the best player at the position of need. And I guess that was a relatively short comment from Jerv that the rest of the draft was a B. But trying to put words in his mouth, yes, Carter was the best player at the position of need.
Yeah, he really was. And you got to think about team fit and character and all those things. And, you know, they leaned pretty heavily into that in this draft. And supposedly that's part of what made the last draft as successful as it was in some ways. And the Carter thing is interesting because he goes to the Eagles and we talk about fit being so important. And I think if there was any team in the league, scheme wise, culture wise, and then with familiarity, that's always been a hard word for me. Familiarity.
I can't do it either.
Yeah. All right. We both are failures of familiarity.
You nailed it there.
Hey, I just got to not think about it. I do better when I don't think, apparently. I don't know if that's good. But with all his Georgia teammates there and the guys that he played well with in the past, I think that can really help. I think out of all the spots in the draft for him to go, that was probably the best one for him personally. So he could very well succeed in Philly, which makes it paramount that Witherspoon is really freaking good. Because if he's good, then we don't have to hear for the next 5 years about how they whiffed on Jalen Carter.
Yeah. And I don't know if I would even characterize it as a whiff if he does succeed, just based on how you set it up. This is something that I've been having trouble teasing out, because you even heard this kind of leading up to the draft as, oh, he'd be good in Philly because, you know, he has the look at all the players the Eagles have that can help bring him along. He has that great support structure in Philadelphia, if that's where he goes. You heard it there before leading up to the draft that that would be a good spot. You've heard it after. And I feel like I've heard it from enough analysts who are close to the people on the Eagles that that conversation is coming from somewhere, that the support structure there is what he needs to succeed. And that's the biggest issues that I think I would have saying that, yeah, I'm fine with him not coming to Seattle, because not only did he not get picked up by the Seahawks, if he was the best player available at a best position of need, the Arizona Cardinals could have used an interior defender. They had a shot at him with three, and they had a shot at him with six after they traded back.
And the Texans need everything. They had two bites at the apple.
And they took Will Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
The Detroit Lions, who were behind the Seahawks, they traded out of that pick. They could have stayed put and taken Carter. They have a need for a player like that. Shoot, they reached on a ton of different positions in the draft this year.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they fell back from a position like Carter's and still went back and then took a running back in the first round.
Yeah.
When I think about that, that's the pick that tells me all I need to know, not just how the Seahawks felt about Carter, but how other teams around the NFL felt about him.
Oh, 100%. But nobody will remember that 5 years from now if Carter is
Warren Sapp.
Yeah, is B plus Warren Sapp, right?
Yeah.
And Witherspoon flames out. Like, which I think the possibility of that is Witherspoon flaming out is minuscule. He's as home run as it gets when it comes to a prospect at the corner position. I think he's going to fit in with the attitudes of Adams and Diggs and those sort, like, so well. And it really helps too that he's so good at tackling in run support, because let's face it, Tariq isn't a great tackler, at least not yet.
He's not like Sherman was.
No,
for sure.
Not yet. He could become that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to take it off his plate or anything, but he's primarily a cover corner. He's more Dion than he is Sherm.
Where you watch Witherspoon's tape and you see those tackles, and that get you excited.
Yeah. If you miss him, I don't know what to tell you, because he's just all smoke, man. And I hear people talk about, well, he's going to hit himself out of the league because he's too small. He's going to Bob Sanders himself. And it's like, are we sure he hasn't been injured yet?
Yeah. And I don't know if I necessarily saw that with a lot of his college tackles.
No.
To where he was putting himself in physical danger by, you know.
More or less, the routine plays a routine, right? Like, he's got a few big thumpers, but it's not like he's, you know,
and uses a shoulder, not, you know, straight on with the crown of his helmet type thing. They're getting better at doing that in college. So I think all there's
stuff.
Yeah, those guys have more opportunities to practice.
Yeah, the same people worry about that. And then when you say, well, are you worried about JSN missing an entire season with a hammy? Nah, he'll be fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
The other thing I liked about Witherspoon's tape, you watch him play press man. And the footwork, I don't know if it's the exact technique that Pete Carroll teaches as far as the kick step, but it looks awfully similar. Like, I'm no footwork expert at corner, but he looks like the other Seahawks corners when I've seen them play up on the line.
Absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see if they really try to screw with that much, or if they just throw him out on the island there and just like, do your thing, Spoon.
Yeah.
And I think they're probably going to be closer to that. Like, why? I'm sure there's things technique wise that they can clean up and little things here or there, but I don't think they're going to make any big changes at all. I'm not too worried about kick step, no kick step. However it is that the Spoon Man does it, like, I'm good with it. You just keep you do you, bud.
So here's the other thing, though, that it ends up being a conversation that doesn't matter as much because the Colts did take Anthony Richardson at number 4.
Yeah.
I am curious, though, if how things would have played out if, say, Witherspoon got picked by the Colts and Anthony Richardson was there at 5.
Okay.
Pete said in the post draft presser that there were two players that they were not willing to pass on if they were available at number 5.
Yep.
The speculation is that it was Will Anderson and Devin Witherspoon.
Okay.
But
they got one of the names wrong.
Did they?
Yeah.
You don't think it was Will Anderson?
No.
You think there was another player that they would not have passed on if he were there?
Yeah.
CJ Stroud.
Yep. So I heard the PFF guys talking about this, and they were dead sure that they were inferring Richardson in their press conference there when they said, you know, things about the quarterback and it just didn't pan out. And then they asked Schneider, like, you know, the first 4 picks, did it go how you thought? And he's like, yeah, well, if you asked me 3 weeks ago, then yes. But, you know, with all the smoke screens and everything that came through here on lying season, like, he was still, you know, everybody was a little surprised. Nobody really knew.
Nobody knew. Yeah. If Richardson was going to go as high as 2 or. Wait,
or
out.
The other rumors that Stroud was, you know, a walking dummy and you can't play him. And so he's going to go, you know.
Well, and the 30th. Other rumors were that Tyree Wilson was going to be the first defensive player off the board.
Exactly. Exactly. So everybody thinks that he was talking about Richardson there, like he would be the guy that they just couldn't pass on. Nah, dude, with all the rumors and everything, that was Stroud that they were talking about. So don't get it twisted.
All right.
That's just a guess. I don't know any more than anybody else, but like that's how it feels to me.
Anyways. We all have to infer based off of the answers that we've gotten and but I think it was Brady Henderson that reported, which Seahawks beat reporter was the one who I saw reporting that the other one was Will Anderson.
Okay.
So
that's plausible. That's plausible. I just don't think it was Richardson.
Yeah. It was just the commentary of whether or not if those two players were off the board and a trade back wouldn't have been on the table. Because I think John wanted to trade back on a couple different occasions.
Yes.
So if they would have had to stick there and pick, it probably wasn't going to be Carter based on everything that we talked about before. Mm-hmm. Who else would it have been? Would it have been Tyree Wilson? Would it have been Anthony Richardson? If those other guys weren't there to pick? What was going to be plan C at that spot?
I don't know. And I think they got out of sorts on day 2 a little bit. And because he not only did he want to trade back out of 20, he wanted to trade back out of the Charbonnet pick too.
It seemed that way.
It really did. So unfortunately, Trader John, he was shut down by the rest of the league. They were afraid of getting Schneidered. The hilarious part is that the only team to trade with the Seahawks was the freaking Broncos.
And they got destroyed in terms of the draft value that they had to give up by giving up a third the following year.
Yeah, that's what they say. I'm still a little bummed that they made that trade. I'm sure next year when we have an extra third round pick, I'm going to be like, that was great. I loved it. So, yeah.
Well, especially once we see that the third round pick that the Broncos took flamed out of the league, and not wishing ill on whoever that person is that they picked up. But it would make me feel better about losing that pick.
Pretty sure it was a receiver, and everybody's saying that he's the next
Manuel Sanders. Either a receiver or it was, didn't they take the one white corner?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was the guy.
Yeah. Saving a dying breed out there, I guess. Somewhere Jason Seahorn was super excited.
smiling on that pick.
White or black, I don't give a crap. We got the best corner in this draft. We got the Spoon Man. I'm excited about it. I'm really fired up about what that means for this team going forward. And they're going to need it. They're going to need to be awesome on the back end to try to mask some of the other deficiencies on the defense. So it's
I like the possibilities that Witherspoon provides, because quarterbacks are going to have to decide who to throw to. Mm-hmm. And unless they're just checking it down to linebackers over and over again throughout the game, that could get real old watching that if the Seahawks don't find a way to defend that. But they're going to have to throw to an outside receiver at some point. And so I think it's going to make more opportunities for Witherspoon to be a multi-interception guy or Tariq Woolen, because they'll have to pick the side that they want to try to attack the most. And if I had to put money on a potential rookie of the year candidate, I would think that Witherspoon would be an awfully good one, considering we just saw Sauce Gardner win it last year as the defensive rookie of the year, and giving Witherspoon more opportunities. I'd say I'm pretty excited about that prospect.
If the world was fair and right, then yes, I would put money on it, but it's not. And they just picked a corner last year. And then on top of that, he's playing in Southeast Alaska. So
yeah, don't take any financial advice from
never
from this show. I just, if you know, going back to our previous show, if I were to ask the genie and to grant me the wish, it would be that Devin Witherspoon is the Seahawks 2023 and the NFL's defensive rookie of the year.
I think it's in range. Absolutely. I think the more interesting conversation with the Witherspoon pick is, what does this mean for Kobe?
Yeah, I think he ends up being an interior slot corner still, or depth on the outside. What does it mean for Trey Brown?
It means he still can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that they're comfortable at all having Kobe Bryant in the slot again. That's why they got Julian Love.
How they decide to shift these guys around, it doesn't hurt to have multiple depth pieces. Does one of the guys end up getting traded? Is Michael Jackson the guy who gets traded? They need cap room. Could Jackson be the guy that they cut to save, I don't know, $1 million?
Yeah. Go get a space eater. I don't know. Maybe. It's hard telling, not knowing. But with that said, I wouldn't mind seeing Mike Jackson in the slot to see what he can do for a minute. Just so we know. I mean, I'm sure the coaches know. They try it out in practice and all that sort of thing. But
yeah,
I do know that Kobe is not the answer in the slot. He doesn't have the quick twitch. He just doesn't have it.
I'm willing to give him more time. But bring the genie back in. Can we do the draft? Can we pick guys from last year to have a better second season?
I don't know. I guess it depends on how you use your wishes. If you use your second wish to wish for things for last year, then maybe you can.
Maybe that's an idea for an upcoming show.
Maybe it is.
And I think with that,
there's only one thing left to say.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
The drive to go further and reach higher. The same thing that inspires you inspires us. At Strayer University, we're always searching for new ways to make education more affordable. That's why we offer access to up to 10 no-cost gen ed courses to help you save time and money so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. No-cost gen ed is provided by Strayer University affiliate Sophia Learning. Eligibility rules apply. Connect with us for details. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.